Well, good morning, dear friends, and welcome to another day of Good Morning Live. It is so good to be with you today. You know, whenever we don't do these in the morning, I do miss getting together with everyone. I know it's over the airwaves and through the live stream, but I love the morning community that we have being built here. So hopefully you have your coffee or your tea or whatever you're drinking in the morning made, and you're up and you're getting your day started. Certainly got mine. And the weather here is supposed to turn around in just a little bit, so looking forward to that. I feel like in our household we have a busy week happening, and primarily that's because we had ordered a new swing set for our kids for this summer, and we got it's a whole long story that I won't get into, but we got scammed in our first order. And thank God for our bank. They refunded everything to us. But we were looking at this swing set that we loved. I found a great deal for it online. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And never came. So finally, I figured out that the website was bogus. And but anyway, we got it refunded to us, and that was good. But anyway, so we ended up going with the local company, and what was supposed to arrive like 2 months ago because of all that other stuff and then needing to order it from this other company, it's coming this Friday. So our kids are excited, and so it's like big news in our house this week. But hopefully you're having a good week. Good morning, Sue. Good to see you. We started talking yesterday, and a lot of times when we start these weeks, I kind of have a theme that the Lord kind of spoke into my heart, and try to kind of gather the week around that theme. But yesterday I woke up in the morning and I heard the phrase, the spoil goes to the victor. And I thought, all right, we'll do a one-off message, so to speak, gathered around that. I know whenever I wake up and it's kind of the first thing that pops into my mind is a thought or a phrase or a word. I know that's a lot of times how the Lord will speak to me. Good morning, Jen. Good to see you. And so we did a one-off yesterday. Good morning, Cheryl. Good to see you as well. But I thought, you know what, I'm going to just continue on this theme because I felt like I needed it yesterday. We started this year theming pursue, overtake, and recover all. And in just a few weeks, we will be at the midway point of 2025. And, you know, a lot of times when we start a new year, we you know, gather around a theme, but then months move on and we kind of forget about it. But when we just started talking about that yesterday, it was just like, man, you know what? We need to keep reminding ourselves that it is still the year to pursue, to overtake, and recover all that the enemy has stolen. Good morning, Lindsay. Good to see you as well. And so we just kind of revisited that theme yesterday and just reminding us in yesterday's teaching that the spoil goes to the victor. And to remind you, don't quit yet. Don't back down yet. It's not your season to get out of the game. It's not your season to walk away or to back down or to give up or to throw in the towel. No. That's not God's call for your life, because eternity is hanging in your balance. Your future and your family's future are hanging in the balance of what you do in this season, in this round. So I want to kind of just continue on that thought today and remind us that you're not finished yet. You're not at the finish line yet, but you're not where you started either, right? And to remind you today to just keep swinging, just keep fighting, just stay in the ring, just keep going, right? So there's something about the middle rounds in a fight. At the beginning, you've got kind of that adrenaline going. You know, you're pumped up, you're hyped up. We've got this. That's how we started 2025, saying, you know, we're going to pursue, we're going to overtake, we're going to recover all that the enemy has stolen. We have that adrenaline that's going. We're building. We're doing all of that. And at the end, you can see the finish line, right? And so when you kind of see, like, all right, we are almost there. Come on, everybody, just. It's happening. I know we've been through some rounds, but I can see the finish line, right? Two opposites. You got the adrenaline in the beginning, At the end, you can see the finish line in the distance that gives you that extra push. But in the middle, that's where the fatigue sets in. That's where the doubt creeps in. And that is where most people quit. Right there in the middle. Again, two bookends here. Beginning 2025, pursue, overtake, recover all. Come on, I believe that that's God's mandate as we cross the finish line, across the finish line of this year. But we are right here in the middle of this year. Cheryl says, I dreamed yesterday early morning and saw in my dream a steel sign called endurance. Not surprised what we're teaching. Yeah, we're usually pretty in sync with all that stuff, Ms. Cheryl. But right here in the middle is where it takes endurance, where you have to decide, and what you decide right here, right now, will determine whether or not you cross that finish line. I just look back at my life, and over the years of, the mandates that I knew God called, or the specific things that I knew He asked me to do, and it's, you know, you just kind of lose that momentum, you lose that drive, the adrenaline, life happens, the enemy attacks, people get crazy, all of that other stuff happens. And you lose that adrenaline, that momentum. And before you know it, you're making decisions right in the middle of the round to walk out, to give up, to quit. But listen, you're not where you started, right? You're not where you're going. But don't you dare stop here. Don't you dare quit here. Don't you dare settle here. Don't you dare unpack your suitcases here. Come on, this message today is for those who have gotten up, who have shown up, who are still pressing in. You survived one round, but now we have to make it through round five, right? You've made it through some rounds. We're there. We're in it. But like Cheryl said, this is the season for endurance. This is the season to keep praying. This is the season to keep giving. This is the season to lean in, keep declaring, keep pursuing, keep overtaking, keep recovering all. Yesterday, we talked about David in this very season when the enemy took from him and robbed from him, and his own soldiers were going to stone him. But what did he do in that season? He made a decision to encourage himself in the Lord. And it made the difference. And I don't believe that the battle was won on the field. I believe the battle was won when he made that decision. Come on. That's right. We keep believing. If we could cue that Don't Stop Believing song right now, would be the time. In the middle is the most valuable place of your journey. Right? Like even the Bible says, you know, what man begins to build a tower and doesn't first sit and consider, like, right? Like, what is he saying? It's easy for any fool to start. Every fool can start. Everyone can start the business. Everyone can start the journey. Everyone can start praying. Everyone can start contending in their faith. Everyone can start making declarations. Everyone can start believing God for their kids, but not everyone has the endurance and has the faith and has that grit and has that stamina and has that drive to grab the altar by its horn. And when it looks like everything is going the opposite direction and you've already been five rounds and your family's still acting up and your marriage still isn't healed and your finances haven't turned around, it takes a different type of person to continue to grab hold of the horns of that altar and say, I'm not giving up. I'm not backing down. I'm not quitting. I'm not walking away. I will not let go. It takes a different type of person to be like Jacob, who wrestled with that angel and said, I don't care if day is breaking. I don't care if my hip is out of place. I don't care how long I gotta be here. I'm not letting go until you bless me. I'm not walking away until I see the turnaround. Come on, there's a different type of faith that gets activated at that midway point. I heard this years ago, and I preached it many times, but it said there are three type of Christians in the world, and I have found this to be true over and over again. They're this, you know, and if you kind of view Christianity as a mountain that you're climbing, and there's scriptures that support that, who can ascend the hill of the Lord and all of those things. But if you kind of view Christianity as this mountain experience climbing, if you will, they said there's those starter Christians, right? We're in, we're climbing, we're looking up, we're getting there. And they start, but man, the first sign of trouble, the first time they got to really dig in and climb, and they put a little effort behind it, they're out. Don't mean they're not saved. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love them and they don't love God. It just means in the realms of getting to their destination, getting to where they're supposed to be, getting to where God's called them to be, they're never get there. Why? Because they're starter Christians. They're good at starting. They're good at climbing a little bit, but they're not good at enduring hardship. They're not good at pushing beyond, right? Then the second thing kind of Christians that there are the type of Christians that what I call camper Christians, where they'll start. They'll put some effort into it, but then they get to a place halfway up the mountain and the view looks pretty good from here. They're not at the top. You know what? We've come through some stuff. We've endured some hardship, and now we're at a place where the view's looking pretty good. I'm not lending to many nations, but I'm certainly not borrowing. Come on, right? Like, I'm not walking in divine health, but I'm not where I was. I heard somebody talking yesterday about this kind of the same topic, and how Christians are like, we don't know how to stay in victory. Like how Christians will often get, like, we know when trouble comes and we got to fight for victory. We'll show up to church, we're praying, we're believing, we're reading our Bible, and you know, but then victory comes and we back up. We don't know how to stay ahead of victory. We don't know how to stay in victory. We don't know how to maintain in victory. And we back up. We let up. Jen heard that too. Yeah, it was pretty good, right? And we let up. We back up. We quit, so to speak, pressing in. And now we come to church when we feel like it, and we pray, you know, just, you know, when we remember it. But, you know, we let off the gas. So what happens? Another attack rushes in, and oh, now we know how to fight again. We're back in, we're praying, we're believing, we're back in church, we're in warfare, we're doing all these things. We get in victory, but we're not very good at staying there. And that's these, what I call camper Christians, where you've been through some stuff and you've gotten halfway up this mountain and you look around and you're like, you know what? I'm not at the top, but I'm certainly not at the bottom. So I'm gonna settle right here. The problem with that is that you're still not where God's called you to be. It's like the Israelites could have gotten pretty comfortable right there, almost in the wilderness. They weren't in bondage, but they also weren't in the promised land. They were in this in-between where God was doing miracles. He was sustaining them. He was, you know, doing some stuff for them, but it certainly wasn't where he had called them to be. I heard Rod Parsley teach this years ago, but he said, you know, a letter is not delivered when it leaves your hand. We think when we put the letter in the mailbox and it left our hand, it's delivered and it's done. No, a letter is delivered when it reaches its destination, right? We're not delivered when we come out of bondage. We're delivered when we walk into the fullness of the blessing of God in that area. We're not out of poverty just because now our bills, you know, we're not struggling to get our bills paid. No. We're not out of poverty until we walk into the fullness of the blessing of prosperity on our lives. We're not out of sickness just because, you know, we aren't experiencing pain. We're out of sickness when we arrive and are walking and living in divine health. A letter's not delivered when it leaves your hand. A letter is delivered when it reaches its destination, right? So we can't be quitter Christians who don't know how to push through hardship, but we also can't be camper Christians who push through, but as soon as they get to a beautiful plateau place where the view looks better than it was before, let's just stay here. No, no, no. We are climber Christians. We are Christians who have that, you know what, the view looks good here, but it's not as good as it's going to look up there. it's been great here, but I'm not settling here. There has to be that grit in the life of a believer that pushes through and says, I'm not settling. I'm not quitting. I'm not backing down until I arrive in the fullness of the promise of God. Listen, this message isn't for everybody, and I'm not trying to make it for everybody. Good morning, Tracy. Good to see you. I'm not trying to preach this for everybody. I'm trying to preach this for somebody who just needs to be reminded today that you're not a quitter and you're not a camper, but you are a climber and you've reached this halfway point. And every devil in hell is trying to get you to back up and quit and just settle where you are. But I'm here to remind you today, don't you dare back up. Don't you dare stop believing. Don't you dare stop forgiving. You've made it halfway through that forgiveness process. Don't you settle here with a little bit of anger and resentment left in your heart. No, you keep pressing in. You keep going after the things of God. You keep your heart in a pure place. Come on. So the middle is the most vulnerable place in your journey. Why? The emotions of starting have now faded away. The promise still feels very far away. You've been faithful. You've been enduring, like Cheryl said, but you still haven't seen the fruit. You are in the middle. And the temptation right here is to settle, is to compromise, or is to simply begin to coast through life. And listen, right here is where it's easy to tell yourself, I've done enough. Maybe this is just how it's going to be. Maybe this is all God has for me. Maybe I'm asking for too much. Maybe this is all it's ever going to be. And when you begin to do that, and you begin to lose the vision of what God originally called you to and to walk in, come on, you're settling. Listen, just because you're tired doesn't mean you're finished. Just because you're tired does not mean you're finished. And I would hear you say, but Pastor, I'm so tired. And I would say back to you, I'm tired too. I'm tired too. Pastor in a church for 21 years, you know, been saved since I've been 8 years old, still contending for some things, still believing for some things, still some things not walking in the fullness of it. I get tired too. But what I want to remind us today is this is not the season to downshift. This is the season to dig deep. This is the season to dig deep into the core of your soul, the core of who you are, and say, I got to go another round. I have to keep fighting. I have to keep climbing. I have to keep moving forward. Listen, every champion is forged in the middle rounds, not at the start. You know, and hear my heart on this. After 21 years of pastoring and, you know, which I know is not a terribly long time in comparison to some, but, you know, over the years, I've watched some people, you know, on in the distance start well, and it's like, God, I'm still, where's my, like, they just started and it just took off, and what's happened? I've watched many of them come, but I've also watched many of them go, and that's not the desire of my heart, is to watch them go, but what I have found over the years, it's not about how good you can start. I've seen them start good, and I've seen them start good and end good, and we celebrate that. But I've seen them start good and explode and blow up, and they started a business, and you started a business, and man, there it looks like their momentum is going. But what I've also seen is when the momentum ends, because there's always going to be something new around the corner. There's always going to be something shinier up ahead. And the crowds and the momentum shift to whatever's new. What's going to keep you is the ability to dig deep and to say, I have to keep going. I have to endure. I have to keep the faith. I have to keep pressing in. Come on, it's not about how you start. And I dare say, listen, it's not even about crossing the finish line. I dare say it's what happens in the middle that makes the difference. maybe you started that business, right? And it was like you had some good momentum and something else opened up around the corner. Now it seems like they're riding the wave and you just feel like you want to quit and give up and walk away. No, no, no. It's because it's not about the starting. It's about the endurance. It's about, can you dive deep? Like, you know, you've been praying and believing for your marriage, for your turnaround, for your situation, for your breakthrough, for your miracle. And you've been saved for 40 years. And here comes this new believer walking through the doors. They pray a prayer and God turns their whole life around. Their husband is saved. Their kids are saved and they're glorifying God. And you're like, but God, did you forget that I exist? Did you forget that I'm here? I just want to remind you, you can't compare your journey to somebody else's. Stop it. Stop. You will never get to where God's called you to be as long as you are looking at somebody else's journey. No, no, this is the season. You say, God, where was I and where have you called me and where am I right now? And until I reach that destination point, I do not stop fighting. I do not downshift. I do not back up, but I dig in and I keep pressing towards the mark. Why? Because champions are forged in the middle rounds. I think of this and I think of the story, and you've probably heard us preach it before, but of Abraham and when he got stuck in a middle round, right? We can see this in Genesis 11:31, and it says this, Terah took Abram, his son, and they went forth from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. And I want to point out here, where were they going? They were going to the land of Canaan. What was Canaan? Canaan was to be their promised land, right? That was their land of destiny. That's the call of God. That's where they were to settle. That would be where it would all happen for them. That was the destined port that God had called them to be. But now if you look at where they were at Ur, and then you look at Canaan, and you find the halfway point, you're going to find Haran. It was the halfway place. And it says that when they got there, they stopped halfway in Haran, a halfway place. But it says something interesting. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. They settled there. Those are very specific words. Why? Because where were they called to go? To Canaan. But they got to Haran, which was not where they were. I'm sure it was a beautiful place, but it wasn't where they were called to go. And they settled there. Now, the Bible says that actually then Abram's father-in-law dies and passes away there. And can I submit to you that whenever you settle for that halfway point, something in your life is going to die that was not supposed to die. Now, I know in this case, it was speaking of a physical person, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying is when you start to compromise on the call and the purpose and where God has placed your destined port to be, and you draw back and you begin to settle for that halfway point, something sacred in you dies. Why? Because you were designed to live in the destiny that God's called you to live in, not to settle halfway. And when you begin to settle halfway, you're compromising the call of God on your life. And I promise you, once you've compromised the call of God, everything else is a downhill sinking from there. When you settle halfway, something sacred inside of you dies. I would rather die fighting for my promised land than to let something sacred in me die settling halfway there. I think of John Osteen, Joe Osteen's dad, and he always has told the story of, you know, his dad was dying of cancer, but he hung a tracksuit on the door of his hospital room and said, one day I'm getting up out of here and I'm getting in that tracksuit. I'm going to be running again. And obviously that didn't happen. He died of the disease and passed away. But man, that's faith. Because why? It says, I would rather die fighting another round to reach my destination than to show up at heaven's gates and say, well, you know, I got halfway there and that wasn't a bad spot. So I just settled. I just gave in. I just stopped believing for the turnaround. I stopped believing. God, you know, I believe for, you know, 10 years for my kids and it just doesn't look like it's paying off. You know, and they're not bad kids. They're not saved and serving God, but you know, they're good. They're, you know, it is what it is. Don't you dare back off of that. When you settle, something sacred dies. So they settled there. Now listen, Haran wasn't evil. It wasn't a bad place. It just wasn't the promise.
That makes me want to run.
It wasn't evil and it wasn't a bad place. It just wasn't the promise. Where in your life have you settled? Not a bad place, not necessarily evil, but it's just not the promise. How many of us live when we lose strength in the middle? How many of us live in that place of the middle? We settle halfway in our healing. We settle for, Cheryl said, run, brother, run. I would, but it would be awkward for y'all. But I do. Listen, I don't. When I said that, it wasn't a bad place and it's not an evil place. It's just not the promise. It makes me want to run. Makes me want to run. But how many of us have settled halfway to our healing or settled for surface level faith, or we've settled for a marriage that's functional but not flourishing, or we've settled calling ourselves saved but not walking in victory? Don't make a temporary pause a permanent home. There are seasons. Listen, David said, you make me lie down in green pastures, right? But he also said, you walk me through this valley of the shadow of death. Like, there are those moments where God will cause you to pause and refresh halfway through and make you lie down in green pastures, but don't you dare stay settled walking through the valley of the shadow of death. No, you come out the other side of that valley. You are walking through the valley, David said. So don't be confused that a temporary season of reprieve and refreshing and refueling, if you will, as the halfway point. Temporary pauses do not determine our permanent home. Abraham stayed in Haran until Genesis chapter 12, when God spoke again. And I think this was interesting is because earlier in the verse, it said that Abraham, Terah took Abram, his son, Abraham's father, and his family caused him really to settle. So listen to what God said in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Go from your country and from your kindred. The very things that were causing him to settle where he was, God said, you got to get up and you got to get out of there to the land that I will show you. What land? Don't matter. Get up and go. Where am I going? Don't matter. Just get up from where you settled. But God, I need a direction. Just, I would rather you get up from settling and run in any direction. I heard this years ago. Somebody said to me, that I was, you know, young and trying to determine my course. And they said, it's easier to steer a moving car. Like sometimes when you don't know where to go and how to move from here, get up and do something. And that's what God's saying to Abraham. I didn't even give you the promise. I didn't even show you the land. I didn't show you the direction. Just get up and go. Why? Because sometimes just going sets things in motion. Like a car that's not moving, it's hard to steer. But as long as you're moving, God can direct the course. He can move you to the right or left. Like, well, God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Do something. Do something. Start, just do something. If it's wrong, you trust God to get you where you need to go. But the most dangerous thing you could do is settle where you are. And I think that's what God's saying to Abraham. I would rather you end up anywhere else on the map than settle where you are. God was saying, leave the halfway place. I still have more for you. Listen, you may be in Haran today. I might be in Haran today, paused, stuck, tired. But trust me, God's not finished. He's calling you forward again. Let me remind you today that you are stronger than how you feel. Strength isn't always loud. Sometimes strength looks like a whisper. Strength looks like you being able to say, I'm still here. Just
if you get nothing else out of this message today,
look at yourself in the mirror and just say, I'm still here. I'm still standing. You know, I can't tell you how many people I've run into in my life who I went to youth group with or I served in ministry with for years. And I meet them in a grocery store and, oh man, how, what are you doing? Where are you going to church? How are you connected or whatever? And they're not. They're not serving God in the local church. They might still claim to follow the Lord, but we understand that following God means being involved in the local church, or you just look at their lives and you can tell like they've gone off the deep end. They're not serving God at all anymore. They're living in sin and it's such a sad thing that, you know, people who you've walked with, and I mean, you could probably have these testimonies too, people that you did life with are just not serving God anymore. And that's a sad thing. And I'm not saying we don't, obviously that's a heartbreaking thing and we don't celebrate that. But sometimes you got to, in light of that, in light of how many people have quit, have walked away, have backed down, sometimes you just need to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I am still here. But for the grace of God, there would go I, but I've made it. I'm still serving. The enemy has thrown shot after shot after shot. The people of God have been terrible sometimes. I haven't seen God's hand clearly sometimes. I've been confused sometimes. I've been overwhelmed sometimes. I've been wounded on the battlefield sometimes, but I'm still here. And I'm going to tell you, you're stronger than you think. There's something to be said about walking with the Lord. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but something to be said about walking with the Lord as long as you have walked and you're still standing. You've come through the attack. You've come through the offense. You've come through the heartbreak. You've come through the trial. You've come through the beating time and time and time and time again, but you're still here. You've been praying when you haven't seen answers. You've been faithful when no one else saw it. You kept coming back to the altar even when nothing changed. Listen, that's not weakness. I gotta get up. That was the most unflattering get up in the world. But listen, that's not weakness. That's strength. The enemy has had you convinced and deceived that you are weak because you haven't seen the answer, that you're weak because it hasn't happened yet, that you're weak because it hasn't turned around yet. Look at you still going, doing it, and it still hasn't happened. Listen, that's not weakness. That is strength. The fact that you are still standing is not because you are weak. It is because you are strong. Come on, I don't know who needed to hear this today. I don't know who has been convinced today that give up, quit. Come on, you can't make it. You're still standing. After all these years, after all these trials, you are still standing. In the middle of it all, you are still here. Listen, in the middle rounds, your muscles don't grow from one big moment. They grow from repetition. Listen, let me say that to you. Your muscles don't grow from one big moment. They grow from repetition. They grow from doing it over and over and over, from enduring, from being faithful, from praying when everybody else stopped praying, from giving when everybody else stopped giving, from going when everybody else stopped going, from just keeping your heart on the altar for giving when even society has stopped forgiving and it said it's, you know, just cancel everybody. No, you keep forgiving. You keep your head up. You keep doing what God's called you to do. That is where strength is found. That's where strength is grown. I got to sit back down because I think my head's probably cut off in the screen because it's all dialed in for me to sit, not stand. But come on. Come on, somebody. So you're stronger now than when you started. Even if you feel tired, don't wait to feel strong. Declare it. I've got strength for this round. I've got endurance for the next step. In my weakness, he
is made strong. Start declaring. Start declaring, I have strength. I'm strong. I can endure. I have this. I can go the extra mile. I can go another round. Come on. Faith in the middle looks like obedience. Faith in the early rounds is exciting. Faith in the final rounds is celebratory. But faith in the middle looks like showing up again. Faith in the middle is praying when it's dry, serving when it's unseen, trusting when it hurts. That's what Abraham did. Even after the delay in Haran, when God called, he obeyed. He didn't say, but God, I've been here too long. God, I'll go later. He simply obeyed. He simply obeyed. Listen, obedience doesn't always feel powerful, but it is powerful because every obedient step takes you closer to the promise of God. Obedience is the most powerful thing you could do. Obedience is staying on the altar even when it looks like everybody else has walked away. Obedience is the most powerful thing that you could do. So I'm going to remind you today that God sees you right where you are in the middle. Literally, as we approach the middle of this year, know that God sees you. It can feel lonely in the middle of rounds, but God is watching. Maybe when you started this year talking about pursuing, overtaking, recovering all, you didn't anticipate maybe some of the things that would happen this year to you, right? Like you didn't anticipate some of the trials and some of the setbacks and some of the things that came out of left field. But listen, God sees your yes. He sees your midnight prayers. He sees your refusal to quit. He's not only present at the breakthrough, he's present in the middle, and he's proud of your endurance. He was with Abram in Haran. He was with David in Ziklag, and he is with you in the middle. Come on. To the spoil, that goes to the victor. The victor gets the spoil. You have come too far to quit now. Listen, you don't get a prize for starting the fight, right? You don't get a reward for making it halfway. The spoil goes to the victor. You get it when you finish. David didn't receive victory at Ziklag until he pursued again. Abram didn't receive Canaan until he left Haran. You won't step into all that God has for you until you decide, I'm not settling here. I'm not quitting. I'm not staying here. I'm getting out of Haran. I'm getting out of this cave. I'm encouraging myself in the Lord. Why? Because the spoil, the blessing, the breakthrough, the promise belongs to those who don't quit. So let me speak to your heart 1 minute, and then I'll pray for you. Let me speak to your heart. You have come too far to stop now. Think about it. All that you have endured, all that you have prayed your kids through to not see them walk in the fullness of salvation. Come on. All that you have prayed your marriage through to not see it fully healed. To all that you have prayed for physical recovery and all the grounds that you have made to not see it fully manifest. To all the sacrifice that you have made to see the kingdom of God advance in your region, in your area, to not see it enter into full revival. Come on, you have come too far to stop now. You have fought too many rounds to walk away before victory. Yes, you might be in the middle. Yes, you may be tired. But listen, you are still in the fight when so many others have backed up and have quit. You are still here. You remained. You stayed steadfast. You kept praying, even when it was unpopular. You kept showing up. You kept serving. You kept going. Don't underestimate that. And just like to Abraham, the voice of the Lord is calling out to us today. The halfway place of this year just like to David, get up, go again. Will you continue to recover all? Will you pursue? Will you recover all? Come on, you don't need a second wind. We've been talking about that when we're talking about Pentecost. People have been saying, well, we need another Pentecost. No, the first one was sufficient. We need to return to that, right? You don't need a second wind today. You just need a made up mind that he's the Alpha and the Omega. But the same God, the Bible says, who's the beginning and the ending, he's the author and finisher of our faith. The same God who got me started is the same God who will get me through. I just need to make up my mind that I can go one more round, that I can pray one more prayer, I can take one more step, because the finish closer than it feels. And the spoil goes to the victor. I love, Jen said, Cheryl Weaver, it's more like a gallop. Instead of running, it's more like a gallop. Well, listen, sometimes halfway through, it might be more of a gallop than a run. But come on, sister, you're still galloping. You're still got movement. Let me pray for you today. Father, I thank you for this message. I thank you for this encouragement this week, Lord, that you are calling us to not give up. Do not quit. That you would remind us today. Come on. That's right. That we are all in forward motion here. We are moving forward. We are pressing in. We are going after all of the promises of God. We aren't settling in Haran. We're not staying in Ziglag's cave, but we are coming out in the full strength and power and anointing that God's called us to walk in. You are with us. You have not forsaken us, and we have endured. I'm serious, folks. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, you have made it this far. You have made it. You're still in the game. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you strengthen us, that you remind us that you are with us. You're the God who started us, and you are the God who will keep us. You've called us from the foundation of the world. You knew the attacks that would come. You knew the trials that would come. You knew what it would look like when we walk through hard seasons. You knew, you know, our failures. You knew what would happen, but you still called us because you believe that we have the endurance to make it. The Father, give us that strength. Remind us of how far we've come. Don't quit. Don't settle. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. So whether you're running or whether you're galloping, whether you're hopping or whatever, you know, it's like that Facebook or social media trend where like husband and wives record each other running at full speed, because it's like, I don't know the last time I've ever ran at full speed and how funny it is. Come on. Somebody's out there running full speed and it might look ridiculous, but come on, keep running, keep going. You're almost there. Amen. Well, thanks for being on with me today. I will see you back here tomorrow as we keep pressing in together. In Jesus' mighty name. Remember, it's not over because you're still here. In Jesus' name, amen.